Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at verse number 12. You can't hardly improve on this portion of Scripture because you got 12 and 13 that talks about the Word of God, and then you've got 14 through 16 that talks about the power of prayer. And you talk about giving the devil a 1-2 punch. You just want to stay close and right with the Lord, then you know what? Stay in the book, stay on your knees, and you know what? You're going to be all right. You'll be all right. And so we see here, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this privilege just to teach on the subject of prayer. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to tell anyone anything new. Lord, we have a church that's come, and they sit and they learn and they read. But Lord, for some, we may hit some new things for some folks, but much of church, dear God, is just a reminder of what we already know and a reminder to continue to do, Lord, what we know to do. And so, Lord, in this matter of prayer, I pray, dear God, that we'd always make Blessed Hope Baptist Church a place of prayer, and that the people here would be people of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And you know, the neatest thing happened this afternoon, because with the sermon prepared for tonight, the Bible study ready to go, one of the things that my wife handed me on the way out was a message. She was getting ready to go out on visitation, and she was finishing up what she needed to do here, and she hands me a bunch of these little yellow stick-it notes. And that's all of the reminders and phone messages and things that I should have done yesterday or last week. So I line up on my desk real pretty, you know, so that they're there, because I want them to be there next week when I still haven't done anything about them. But no, I appreciate her help in keeping me on track in that. But one of them was a phone message from a pastor from Rochester, Minnesota, by the name of Pastor Hansen. And honestly, I didn't remember him. I didn't know why he had called, so I called back, and then he said, "My name's Pastor Hansen." And he said, "I don't know if you remember this or not, but," he said, "a year ago," he said, "not quite a year ago," he said, I was at a pastor's conference, and you were there, and he said, "I caught you and asked you if I could eat lunch with you because I wanted to ask you a question." I said, "Tell me what the question was." He said, "It was about a piece of property." And I said, "I know who you are now, and I remember the conversation." I said, "Your church had an extra piece of property, and it had an older building on it, and you have been trying to sell that piece of property for 3 years, and you can't find a buyer, and you can't move forward in what you need to do on your new property till you sell your old property." He said, "That's the exact conversation we had." And he said, "Preacher, we have tried everything that we know to try to sell this piece of property." And he explained that while we were sitting at lunch. And when he got all done, he said, "Do you have any suggestions or anything that I'm not thinking of?" And I said, "I can tell you exactly how to sell your property, exactly." And I said, "Maybe you've already done this, and if you haven't, let me encourage you to do it." I said, "I want you to meet with your men, and I want you to meet with all of your men. And I want you to tell them that if we're going to sell this piece of property, we can't move forward. We can't do the next phase, the next step. Our ministry is suffering. It's being held back because we can't sell this piece of property." And I said, "You tell them that for every single month, once a month, you're going to schedule a time for all of the men to meet on that piece of property." And I said, I explained the three tenets of United Prayer. And you folks know it. If you've been paying attention, you've been here at all. You got to be in one place. You got to be one accord. And you've got to pray for one request. And that's the pattern in the book of Acts. So I explained that to him. And he thanked me. And he went home, called me to, and he said, "Well, I wanted to call and talk to you about it." He said, "We've been doing that now for about 8 months. And he said, finally, a month ago, he said, we had an offer somebody show some interest, a company, a corporation show some interest. And he said, today I've got a written offer that we're going to accept sitting on my desk to sell this property. And he said, so I wanted to call you. And I had honestly forgotten about the conversation until he brought it up. But I couldn't help but smile because here I am getting ready to come to the pulpit at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and to preach on the seven blessings of prayer. And here this man calls me and reminds me, hey, guess what? If we just take the formula that God has in his word and we enact that formula, then you know what? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. And I just believe in prayer. Prayer is a blessing. Prayer is a blessing. It's a personal blessing in my life. I think the longer I'm saved and the older I get, the more precious prayer becomes to me. And so I wrote down this list. I'm going to give them to you tonight and some scripture that I'll read, and we'll do a study, and this will be an encouragement. And again, folks, let's not forget to pray. Amen. Number one, here's the seven blessings, seven best blessings about prayer. Number one, let me share this with you. You can pray. You can pray. Now, let me qualify this. If you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. Well, what if I'm lost? Well, you can still pray if you're lost, but you know what you need to pray? You need to pray to be saved. All right? Because once you pray to be saved, then you are not talking to a God to whom you're at odds with, but you're talking to a God who has now become your Heavenly Father. And there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now think about this. He's invited us to come. We can pray. Okay? Folks, the Old Testament Jews, they didn't have that opportunity. They had to go find a mediator. We have a mediator, Christ Jesus. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only can you pray, you can go boldly to the throne of grace because God's invited you to come that way. How about that? So if you're a born-again Christian, you can pray. Now, I'm all for it, and I'll do it. I mean it. You come to me, and if you say, Pastor, I'd like you to pray about something with me, I'll pray with you, but I don't intend to pray for you. Let me say that again. I'll pray with you, but I don't intend to pray for you. Because you know what? I'm not a Catholic priest, okay? And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to find somebody to go and give our prayer requests to. I'll pray with you, but I'm not going to pray for you. And by the way, it's a wonderful thing when you understand and believe and realize that God loves you and God wants to answer your prayer. He wants to hear from you. And you know what? You can pray. So one of the greatest blessings in my life is that, you know what? I don't have to drive somewhere. I don't have to call somebody else. You know what? As a born-again Christian, I can go boldly before the throne of God. So number one, you can pray. Number two, you can pray at any time. Now, I made two different phone calls today, and I got here pretty early this morning. You know, I got my to-do list, and sometimes I forget that depending on where I'm calling in the country, the rest of the, you know, the farther left you go, they're not up yet. And so I made two different phone calls earlier than I just got busy with looking and didn't really realize the time, and I made two different phone calls where I got a machine that told me that you have to call during office hours. And so I made a little note besides that, call back later, looked at the time, thought, oh man, it's still 7:30 there. And so, you know, made a little note there. Well, you know what? I've never one time ever got that response from the Lord. I mean, you know what? I can't, there's no, you know, hours that you have to go to. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, you can pray at any time. Bible says you can pray in the morning. Psalms 88:13, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. And then Psalms 55:17, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know you can pray at night. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to the Lord. So what are you saying? I'm saying you can pray always. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which all of these things tell us, hey, you know what? You got an open invitation. And you know what? Sometimes you may have a hard time getting a hold of me, but you're never going to have a hard time getting a hold of God. And you know what? Yeah, sometimes you're going to have to leave a message with somebody you're trying to get a hold of, but you don't have to leave a message with God. And so, you know what? You can pray at any time. And so isn't that a blessing? Mornings, evenings, evening, noon, at night, always without ceasing. Isn't nighttime a great time to pray? Isn't that a wonderful time to pray? The Lord ever woke you up at night? And you know what? Well, you can't get back to sleep. A little bit frustrated because you can't get back to sleep. But you know what? A lot of times what I found out, if the Lord's woke me up and I can't back to sleep, usually it's because he wants me to pray about something. And so I know that's the testimony of many of our senior saints. When you get into those latter years, you don't sleep sometimes as well as you wish you did at one time. But you know what? Isn't it nice to know that part of the benefit of that is there's not too many times during the day where we don't have people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, praying. We got our third shifters out there, and you know what? They're praying during the third shift. And second shifters, and they're praying during second shift. And you can pray at any time. Anytime you want to, you can get a hold of the Lord. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray by yourself or with others. The Bible talks about closet prayer in Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And I think part of our prayer time ought to be alone time. So you know what? Thank God I can pray when I'm by myself. I don't have to, again, go rally around and get a certain number of people to join me before I can have a prayer meeting. I can do it by myself. I can pray, the Bible talks about, in a solitary place. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And folks, there is something sweet about just you and God. You know, just you and Jesus time. Just the two of you together. And so you know what? You don't have to get a crowd together. Now, as I already mentioned, there's power in united prayer. And there ought to certainly be within the church schedule a time for united prayer. We're going to do it tonight at the conclusion of our service. And what do you do, preacher? What's going on after Wednesday night service? Well, the men gather at the front here in groups of twos and threes, and the ladies back there in groups of twos or threes. And you know what we do? We want there to be a time where God looks down and sees us in one place, in one accord, praying for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the power of God and the souls to be saved and Christians to be helped. And you know what? I want God to look down here and say, you know what? There's a church that still believes in united prayer. And so that's why we do what we do. And other churches might do it differently, might schedule a little differently, but I'm disturbed about churches that never have any time where everybody's praying. I think we've got away from something important. But you can pray, number one. You can pray at any time. Number two, you can pray by yourself. You can pray with others. And you know what? God blesses them both. Now, here's another thing. Number four, you can pray about everything. Oh, preacher, I think this is so petty. I don't think God wants to be bothered with that. He never thinks that prayer's a bother. If it's important to you, it's important to God. If it's important to you, it's important to God. How many's got grandkids? All right. Something's important to your little 3 or 4 or 5-year-old grandkid. They want to come talk to you about it. Is it important to you? You know what? That's how God is. You know what? He doesn't ever consider it a bother. He says, pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, Philippians 4. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everything, every need, every circumstance. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so, you know what? If you have a need, go talk to the Father about it. If there's something you're concerned about, go talk to the Father about it. Every circumstance, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, me and Isaac had a discussion. By the way, we had this discussion not 45 minutes before that nurse came in. I told you on that Friday. and said, I don't know what's, you know, that little stinker. I don't know what's going on. But right before we saw this turnaround, let me tell you something. There was a couple of discouraged parents. I mean, for 4 days, they haven't had one piece of good news. And he sat down and he looked at me. And maybe I shouldn't share this. But he sat down with this preacher and I'll share this much. He just looked at me and tears in his eyes. He said, Preacher, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to pray anymore. And I told him this. I said, you know what? There's going to be more than one time in your life when you come to this. But I said, when you don't know what to pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us because we don't know what to ask God for anymore. But the Spirit knows what to ask God before. And I mean, we hadn't had that conversation, I don't think 40 minutes later, I think the Holy Spirit went rushing up to the Father and said, he don't know what to pray for. But we know what to pray for, don't we? Isn't that good? Listen, I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. If it's important, you know, to you, then it's important to God. And you can pray about anything. I mean anything. And so lift it up to the Lord. You can worry about it, not pray, but I'd think it'd be smarter to pray. You can complain about it, not pray. But it might be better to take your complaining time and turn it into prayer time. Your worry time, turn it into prayer time. Well, I'm glad you can pray about everything. You know, when we got done hunting out in Montana, me and my brother-in-law, Troy, was going to drive back together, and he'd driven the truck out there, and I ended up flying in from the funeral, and then after the hunt was over, we were going to drive home. And I don't get to spend much time with my brother-in-law, honestly. You know, he's busy in his life up in Wisconsin. We don't see each other a lot. And I was really looking forward to just the trip back, just to catch up on things and talk with him. And we had a great time of fellowship. But you know what? Before we put that truck in gear and headed back to Indiana, actually, the truck was acting up a little bit. I know that's a shock. My 16-year-old truck with 140-some thousand miles on it, but it was acting up a little bit, just a little bit. We don't know what was going on with it, but I just said, man, let's just pray this thing back to Indiana, you know. So we asked the Lord a prayer, and of course, you know, asked him for that the truck would run well and it would get us home, and also for safety, you know, because that's a long way. Well, he's got the map, and he's on his phone, and he's trying to tell me, you know, exactly which route. And he said, I think we can save quite a bit of time if we jump over. And there was part of Montana there that we could cut across. And instead of going on the interstate straight down like this, there was this two-lane we could cut across. And I didn't realize we were going through an Indian reservation. So the nice part is they had speed limits that were pretty high, amen. So that was a blessing. It's 75, but it was basically a two-lane road. And I was doing the driving on that stretch. And we had just gotten back in the truck, filled up with fuel, and prayed again and asked the Lord to just take care of us as we were going. And folks, I got driving probably about this. We were on this two-lane road for probably an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, but it was going to save us quite a bit of time. And once we left that gas station, had our prayer time, I was driving along, and we're talking, and I don't know what it was. By the way, I'm not spooky like this, and this don't happen a lot in my life. I got the most terrible feeling, uneasy feeling. And I'm driving the truck, and I don't know why, but I mean, I literally have this terrible feeling, just uneasy. All of a sudden, I'm bothered driving on this two-lane road, and I don't get bothered driving. I've driven a lot in my life, but it was bothering me. It was 75-mile-per-hour speed limit, and I think on a two-lane road, I'm not used to going two-lane road and meeting people going 75 miles an hour, all right, for one thing. So I thought, well, that's probably it. But I'm telling you, for about 10 minutes, I just got the most uneasy feeling. I'd had the cruise control set at 75, pretty much a flat, you know, a few little curves here and there, but pretty much it was flat. And I kicked the cruise control off. I just couldn't shake it. I just kicked the cruise control off, slowed down to about 60 miles an hour. And Troy says, is something wrong with the truck? I said, no. And he kind of looked at me and, you know, didn't ask another question, and I didn't offer any information, and I just slowed down. For whatever reason, it just, you know, I don't know. And it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes after that we were entering into a little curve, kind of coming into it like this, and there was a semi-truck coming just like this. And on the behind that semi-truck was a truck, pickup truck, big old dually pickup truck, pulling a trailer. And this guy, for whatever reason, on that long curve, decided he's going to pop out and pass that semi-truck. And, I mean, he popped out, and we were there. And I had it slowed down already enough where I backed off and he got up out and beside it, and he wasn't going. He couldn't get back in. And so I just eased off and went off the shoulder and got off the road. And, you know, by that time, I let off. I got down to about 40 pretty quick and got completely off the road, and he couldn't get back over. And there we went, and I came back on, and I think I went like this to him. I can't remember, something like that. Or God bless you, I can't remember. You know, I prayed something about that time. And I got back on the road then. That'll get your adrenaline going right there, okay? You take any type of a long trip. If you ever driven across the country, chances are one time on that trip, you're going to have a close call, okay? And not always, but there's a good chance. And I got back on that road, and he looked over at me, and he's like, "How'd you know that?" And I said, "How'd I know what?" He said, "How'd you know that? You slowed down." He said, "We didn't even see that semi." I said, "I don't know, Troy." That's all I said. I said, "I don't know, Troy." I got back on the road, got back up to 75, set the cruise control, felt good, no problem. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get to heaven, and we're going to look back and see. You know, there's times like that where you see where God protected you. You know how many times we're going to look back over our lives and realize that God answers our prayer and we didn't even see the answer to it? And I could open up right now. I guarantee you most Christians in this room right now say, "I have a story just like that, where God just in a supernatural way protected and isn't that good?" Now, folks, listen to me. I'm telling you, this thing of prayer works. And I'm glad you can pray about everything. What do you mean? You prayed before you drove home? Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's not the drunks and the dope heads I'm worried about anymore. It's the texting people, all right? They're the worst ones on the road. And isn't it good to be able to pray? And so pray about everything. All right, number five, you can pray anywhere. So you can pray. That's good. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray about everything. You can pray anywhere. Aren't you glad there's no place on the planet that's a no-prayer zone? I mean, they're putting signs up about everything. I can't carry my gun in certain places. You know, there's no this zone and no that zone. There's no prayer zones. You say, where did people in the Bible pray? Well, they prayed. One man prayed out of the belly of a whale. So I guess you can pray about anywhere. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. You can pray at church, by the way. We should. Jesus said this, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." I think one of the most common occurrences that ought to take place in church is prayer. And I'm not talking about just when we have public prayer. I'm talking about, I think prayer ought to be going all the time. I just think from the time you pull in the driveway, you know, just, I mean, you know what, every time you get a chance, instead of looking at people and you know, just thinking about them, why don't you pray for them? Just pray. You know what? Hey, by the way, Hannah in the Bible, she wanted a baby. I know you can pray anywhere, but I think church is a good place to come pray. You know where she did? She went to the temple. That she went to the temple and she prayed. And like you say, you can pray anywhere, but I think church is a pretty good place to pray. Jesus went out in the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I did a lot of that. I did a lot of that in Montana. You can pray on the ground. He went a little forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, Jesus did. Cottage prayer meetings. How about when Peter got arrested in Acts 12? They gathered together at the house of Mary, the mother of John. It says where many were gathered together praying. They just showed up at the lady's house, had an old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting. There was a group of ladies in Acts 16 that prayed, gathered and prayed by the riverside. On the Sabbath, he went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We see Peter praying on the housetop in Acts chapter 10. I think their houses were a little different. You can do that if you want, just, you know, depending on what kind of roof you got. A lot of praying in the book of Acts in prison. Amen. By the way, a lot of cool answers to prayer in prison. You know, they laid many stripes on them in Acts 16, cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in stocks, and at midnight, Paul and Silas sat in there and cried and felt sorry for themselves and decided they weren't going to serve the Lord anymore because something bad had come into their life. No, they didn't. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'll tell you what, you go through life's crisis, you've got to remember this, folks. The prisoners are watching and listening. Sorry, excuse me. Let me just stop here a minute. Anybody be a good Christian when everything's going well? All right, you know what? You find out who you truly are. Okay, I mean, it's all Sunday school lessons and games until it gets real. But you ought to just predetermine, no matter what the Lord ever asks me to go through, guess what? I'm sticking with Him and staying with Him. And you know what? You're going to look, you know what? That midnight stuff. Those midnight times when you really get to meet God. Boy, they did. And you know what? You read the end of that story. I think a jailer and his whole family got saved. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And so we've had prayer meetings in all kinds of places. I was thinking, just as I was preparing this, when we took a group of young people down to Brother Biber, when Brother Biber and his wife and family were starting a church in Sisterville, West Virginia, when we first got there, you've heard me tell the story, but first thing he did was tell us to take our bus and follow him up a mountain. And you know, West Virginia has mountains, folks. I mean, and he took us up into a cemetery. And I mean, we walked up that cemetery. Cemetery was on a hill like this, folks. They didn't dig down to bury him. They buried him into the hill. I mean, good night. It was amazing. And he said, I want to show you something. And we parked the bus, and we go into the cemetery, and he climbs all the way to the top of this cemetery. And I mean, it was a ways. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? Got all the way to the top of that cemetery, right where it ended, where the woods started again. And we're all walking up the hill towards him. And when he got up there, he told us, now turn around. And you could turn around from that spot in that cemetery and look down and see the entire city of Sisterville. And he looked around at all of us and looked over at the city that God had called him to reach, and tears started streaming down his face. And he said, y'all going to be here for a week? He said, I wanted to take you where I come to pray. How about that? Go to a cemetery. And that may be one of the best places in the world to praise, a cemetery. All around you is reminders that, hey, you know what? This life is short. But at the end of it, all that's going to matter is what was done for eternity. That's a good place to pray by a cemetery. I remember as a young man studying for the ministry, folks, I mean hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of prayer meetings on the streets of Chicago. And hey, bus captains, you can do that on your route. You can do that on your route. Hey, what about when the day's not going well and every kid's telling you no? What's wrong with just deciding, you know what, this sidewalk's as good a place as any. Lord, I'm not going to make another visit. The way things are going, I need to see something. God, all I'm hearing is no's, and I'm out here, and I need your blessing, and I need your power. You do some of that and see what happens on your bus route. Many, many a Saturday night after dark, the last thing I do before I leave my bus route in Chicago is I would traverse that 4-block by 5-block area in the dark, and I would stop in front on the sidewalk in front of the house of every family that rode my bus, every kid that rode my bus, and I'd get on my knees on the sidewalk. You say, did people see you? I don't know if they saw me or not. I didn't care. How about that? Why are we so worried about what everybody thinks? Who cares what everybody thinks? And we'd gather together, us college students, and meet somewhere before we left Chicago. Every single week, we'd have a prayer meeting somewhere on one of the routes in Chicago. Get down on our knees and pray and stand up and clap hands and sing praises to God and get in the car and head home. Well, what do you think people thought? That's your problem. The first thing that goes through your mind every time I talk about something is, what is somebody thinking instead of what is God thinking? Okay, who cares what everybody thinks? You want to see a miracle, then get to praying, man. And so, well, we did that. Brother Tom, we had prayer meeting at Turkey Bar. God answered those prayers. Amen. We've gone to, I wish I could have, I'll tell you all the stories. We've gone to hospitals and gathered together in waiting rooms and seen God perform miracles. Come on now. Amen. We've gone to properties that people in our church owned that needed to be sold. Men just stuck financially, needed to move a piece of property. Men gathered together and prayed. You know what? Within just a few weeks, God took care of that. I just kind of believe in it. I don't think the prayer ought to be restricted to the walls of the church or just to your prayer closet. I think just about anywhere is a good place to pray. I've got to hurry. Number six, you can pray for anyone. Isn't this great? How unlimited prayer is. You can pray. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with somebody else. You can pray about everything. You can pray anywhere. And you can pray for anyone. In fact, the Bible gives you a list to get started with. You know, I don't know who to pray for, but the Bible says little children. Jesus prayed for them. And you'd have a whole ministry just praying for the kids around here. Then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So pray for the kids. All right. Bible says pray for your enemies. Amen. You know what? I mean this, I can say with a pure heart. I'm not an enemy towards anybody that's on this planet. I'm not gonna give anybody that kind of power in my life. Say, preacher, do you have some people that consider you an enemy? They're an enemy to you? Yeah. Yeah, I do. So what do? You pray for them. So that's what Bible said to do. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Just pray for them. That keeps your heart right, by the way. Laborers, therefore, pray for laborers. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth laborers. One of the seven prayer requests. I haven't taught this in a while. Jesus asked us specifically to pray for seven things. Isn't it amazing how many times things come in sevens in the Bible? Threes and sevens. But seven things that Jesus commanded us to pray specifically for. Now, man, somebody sends a prayer request up to the pulpit and says, would you pray for this? We want to honor that because we love the people in this church. But if Jesus said pray for this and we're not praying for it. Okay, so he said here, he told us, if you're a disciple, he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers. And by the way, we ought to pray about that. That means everybody ought to be doing what Jesus said. You know what? Let me tell you one of the reasons he wanted us to pray that every day of our lives. Because if we're praying that God would send laborers into the harvest, guess who the first person he tends to deal with while we're praying? Lord, send somebody to help in that nursing home ministry. And God says, what about you? Now, Lord, just a minute, I'm praying, okay? I got my list here. Just it's my turn. God said, what about you? What about you? He says, pray for the sick in James chapter 5. By the way, Luke 22:40 says you can pray for yourself. I've had people say sometimes, well, I never ask anything for myself. I do. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead and do what you want to do. If it's whatever. But Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not to temptation. Okay, pray for everybody else, but pray for yourself. He said, you pray for yourself. You pray that you enter not into temptation. And so there's nothing wrong praying for yourself. I know what I need. I mean, I know my faults. I know my shortcomings. I know my weak areas. I know my besetting sins. I can pray more intelligently for me than anybody else. I'm glad other people pray, but nobody knows me like I know me. And so ask God. Hey, preacher, I struggle in this area. Do you pray about it? I fight this. Do you pray about it? You know. And so you can pray for yourself. The Bible says to pray for all men. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. Now, this is amazing to me. Be made for all men. Now think about that. I mean, good night, folks. We're talking billions. And the Bible says that the assignment he gave the Christian community was to pray for all men. How in the world can we do that? I think I challenged you one time in this. I said this, you know what? You ought to ask God to put on your heart somebody or a group of people to pray for that you know nobody else is praying for. Okay, pray for your preacher. I mean that. I covet your prayers. Brethren, pray for us. I have no problem asking that. Paul had no problem asking it. I have no problem asking. The honest truth is, if you don't pray for me, there's probably other people that are. I'd still like you to pray for me. If I don't pray for you, there's probably somebody else that, you know what the bus ministry will do in your heart? I mean, you know, bus workers, bus captains, there's some of those kids on there. If you don't pray for them, nobody's praying for them. If you're not praying for that mom or dad, nobody's praying for them. And so I think you ought to just ask the Lord, Lord laid some people on my heart that honestly, I don't think they've got a Christian connection. I don't think there's a godly influence. I don't know if there's a saved member of the family. I mean, I'm going to pray for them because I think nobody prays for them. You might be surprised the miracle that God does in that person's life. How neat is that, huh? I think if all of us asked God that, God would lay somebody on everybody's heart, some bodies, and maybe, you know what? I don't think God ever asks us to do anything. It's impossible. Pray for one another. Confess your faults one another. Pray one for another. That's part of the wonders of having a church family, just knowing people pray for you. And then the last thought, seven blessings of prayer. Number seven, you can know that prayer works. Psalms 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 66, now watch this. Here's a warning. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, God says, listen, I'll answer your prayer, but don't come dirty. You know, I think that's why there ought to be a time of confession, a time of thanksgiving, and a time of praise before you go to praying and asking for anything. Get yourself clean. Come on, get yourself clean. All right. You confess your sins. He's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Puts us on praying ground. And then before you just jump in and start asking God for everything, how about just saying, spend some time saying thank you for what he has done. Praising his name. And then go to him and ask. Now, by the way, that brother that called me today, I think it was 8 months. I think that's what he told me. They met for 8 months. What if they'd met once? And then said, well, this ain't working. Nothing happened. Maybe if they just did 3 months. Preacher, I mean, you know what? I don't know if prayer works. I've prayed about this and nothing seems to be happening. We'll just keep praying. All right. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. You know, God's hearing you. God's hearing you. And so James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe it. I believe that. Luke 18, how about this parable? And he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought to pray, always to pray, and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, though he bear long with them. And you know what, folks? God's timetable is not always mine. Matter of fact, God's timetable is seldom ever mine because I'm impatient by nature. But I'm telling you this, there's a great lesson that's learned just by continual prayer, just by going and going and going. I watched my mom and dad, watch this, both of them the first people that were saved in their families. And I watched my mom and dad decide that they're just going to pray until God brought their brothers and sisters and mom and dad. And listen, folks, I watched my daddy get a hold of God. And I mean, folks, some of those brothers and sisters that finally got saved, it took 20, 25 years. Okay? Aunt Lenny that finally got saved. Folks, listen to me. I love my Aunt Lenny. I wish you could meet her. I wish God would send her back for one day and she could come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All you would do is laugh at this woman. She was so much fun. She's crazy, but fun. But she, you know what, left home and married a guy that was a drummer in a rock and roll band. Moved to Las Vegas, started working in the casinos as a waitress. Then ended up working in the casinos on security. She's tackling people in the parking lot. I mean, Aunt Lenny's stories, how much time you got, all right? She was fun. She was nutty. You know, that whole Ogle clan, I'm just going to tell you, that's a whole sermon right there. But, and she had a sister that got saved. Didn't get saved till she was 26. But that's her older sister. And she'd write her letters and tell about God's goodness and grace and write some verses. And she loved her sister. And she'd send these little church papers. That's what Lenny called them, these little church papers. She'd call Grandma Ogle mad. Tell Donna stop sending the church papers. Every time she writes me, she sends a church paper. Just keep praying. Just keep witnessing. Well, they get mad. Ah, they'll get over it. They're family. Family's supposed to get mad every once in a while. Good. Part of it. They'll get over it. I don't want to scare them away. Where are you going to scare them to? Hell number two, three, four, five? You know, stop hiding behind excuses. Just pray for them, a witness to them. Do it with the right spirit. But you know what? Just, you know what? Decide. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to quit praying. And it may take a year, and it may take five, and it may take 10, and it may take 20. But you know what? God's a God that hears prayer. And there's this widow come to this unjust judge. I mean, it's an unjust judge. You think that unjust judge, God is supposed to be doing, carrying out justice, is unjust? And here's a widow comes to an unjust judge. Hey, we don't go to an unjust judge or an unjust God. But you can go to an unjust judge and irritate him into answering your request. And God says, I'm not unjust. I like to have you come. Just hang in there. There may be a handful of you. Preacher, I prayed about something, tried to pray about something. I'm about ready to give up. There ain't no hope. As long as there's God, there is hope. I'm going to say that. As long as there's God, there is hope. As long as there's, you come tell me it's hopeless the day that God dies. You just keep praying. You don't know what God's got going. You sometimes can't see the whole picture, neither can I. And you know what? It don't always happen on my time frame, and it won't always happen on yours. But just keep your faith in God. Just keep praying. Just, you know why? Because you can. You've been invited. You know why? Because God says you can come anytime. You know why? Because he said you can pray about everything. By the way, he said you can pray anywhere. And you know what? He said you can pray for anybody. And guess what? You can know, according to the scriptures, that prayer works. Well, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being such a kind and generous and gracious God, and for allowing us, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that veil of the temple was rent when Jesus gave up the ghost. The blood that was shed that day opened the portals of heaven and allowed us to be able to usher our spirits into the presence of Almighty God. What a privilege. I mean, we can go anytime, any place, anywhere, right to the throne of God, right into the presence of God. We have that opportunity, we have that privilege, and yet we don't take advantage of it. Lord, when we say it like that, I think it shames us all. We don't take advantage of that more often than we do. And so help us, Lord, to be a praying people. I pray for, Lord, most of our people. The honest truth is most people carry a heavy prayer burden about something. They do. I do. Everybody else in this room, there's... sometimes they can share it, sometimes they can't. Sometimes it's something they can name, and sometimes it remains unnamed. But everybody carries a heavy prayer burden, and most of us more than one. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to leave this church tonight knowing that we don't have to carry that alone. And thank you for caring for us. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. How about that? Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. Help us to be a people of prayer. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to do this. You say, preacher, there's something that's pretty heavy. Honestly, there's a prayer burden I have. And I needed to hear that tonight. Would you raise your hand? Just something I'm not asking you to say a thing about anything, but just something that, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that all your children are special to you. And Lord, when they hurt you, hurt too. And thank you for allowing us the great honor to carry our request, come boldly to the throne of grace, to find help and mercy in time of need. Lord, may we always trust you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.